happy Saturday, beloved listeners. This is your host, Ken Lesser, for another hour of advanced living. I joke with my friends and tell them that I tried retarded living for a number of years, and it just wasn't as much fun. So now we're going for advanced living, and we have a special guest today. We know of different people out there that are doing amazing things, and you may have, some of you may have heard of this movie called The Secret. Of course, it's a very popular movie, and it tells about ways to use the law of attraction to bless our lives, make them better. You may have heard of Joe Vitale. He's one of the presenters on there, has a very successful business. Many of you may have heard of John Gray, who is best known for the work of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. You may have heard of Deepak Chopra, the medical doctor, the holistic MD that from India that is world-renowned for his work in natural healing. Well, today we have a special, special guest. Her name is Mandy Evans. Simply put, an author, a seminar leader, and a coach. And yet, today, we have really a divine presence. Mandy, of course, just to give you a bit of background, she teaches people how to break out from beliefs that block their happiness and success. She's got two books, Emotional Options, A Handbook for Happiness, and geez, let's think if we might want that, and Traveling Free, which I thought was free traveling, but she explained to me, no, traveling free means how to recover from the past. We still have to pay this for the tickets when we go somewhere, but we can go there feeling better. We can move our lives ahead. And she's done a lot in radio and TV interviews, just amazing, amazing background. She's currently in Southern California, and she's been teaching, over 30 years of time in courses like Breakout from Limiting Beliefs. And she's going to be helping us because today a number of us may have had times where we're looking at different things. Things like if you go to her website, MandyEvans.com, you would see a list of beliefs that are limiting beliefs, the top 20. And if you don't have the 20 of them, that's okay. She won't give you more limiting beliefs. She'll help you to get rid of them. So, for instance, how many out there maybe might say that I do not deserve success and happiness, or if I were happy, I wouldn't do anything, or feeling bad is the only motivation I have left. There's so many. Well, we're blessed today because Mandy has been coaching Joe Vitale for 20 years. She has helped the comments from John Gray talk about Mandy as Mandy's work with belief systems is strong and clear, empowering, John Gray says. So we get ready to welcome Mandy and jot down, get paper and pen ready. If you want to go on to another website, too, while we're listening in, go to Mandy Evans, MandyEvans.com. Get ready. Hold on to your socks, beloved listeners. Mandy, are you there?
I certainly am.
Wow. I am just so thrilled to have you with us. It's rare to get to have time with the coach behind the coaches.
Well, thank you. It's delightful to be here with you.
Well, thank you. Now, I guess people are going to maybe be curious. Some may be familiar with some of the concept of your work, but let's take it from something very foundational. What are limiting beliefs, and why are they important?
A limiting belief is something that you hold is true that isn't true. That's crucial, because if it were true, it wouldn't be a limiting belief. It would just be something you have to deal with. So it's something you believe that is not true, that blocks your happiness and success, and many times even blocks the dreams you dare to have.
And
they're so important because we live by them. You know, it's as if it's a training manual, only we didn't memorize it. We just adopt them one by one, and then we live by them as if that's our reality. And they can put us in solitary confinement, beliefs about relationships that just aren't true that we live by. They can They can make us give up on our very lives. And what amazes me is most of us go through life, I certainly did until I was about 30, without ever even hearing about them, without ever addressing what we believe as we struggle to get circumstances all lined up so we can feel okay.
Yeah, I guess some of these things that we get, they come from what? I guess all kinds of life experiences, or what have you found in your research?
Well, sure. All they are is something that it's a conclusion you come to from the seeming evidence at hand, and it might have been when you were 2 years old. It might have been 10 minutes ago, or something that you're told that you have no reason not to believe. You know, I had a friend once in a small town upstate New York who was a widow. She was so poor, and she had 12 kids, and her name was Mary Gail Weller. And she has since told me that I could tell anybody her name because of things that happened to her when she overcame a few limiting beliefs. And one of them, one day she very proudly said to me, "You know, I tell my kids not know Gail Weller's never going to get nowhere in this world." Well, there were 12 kids growing up probably believing that. And when she told me, I just blurted out, you might not want to say that to them. And she said, why? She said, why? And I said, well, it might not have to be true. And she said, I never thought of that. Now, that's an extreme example, but that's how they happen. They're just conclusions. They go into the database, and they stay there.
Oh, and what about as children? Like you were mentioning, she had 12 children. Some of them are very young. As children with our parents, they seem to be the source of all knowledge. And so what they say and their comments about life, is that taken as gospel, or do we get to think about it? How does that work?
Well, some of us, I guess we all know with our parents, we believe some of what they say and some of it we don't. But then a lot of times we come to conclusions by what we see in their lives and how we think we fit into their lives or we don't fit in, whether we think we're wanted or not. And we're little kids, you know, we don't know. We're just kind of trying to understand it as best we can, and we don't get it with perfect accuracy. And if we never look at it, well, we just live by that. You know, for instance, children who are born into a family where they're really not wanted, and it happens. A lot of us sometimes feel unwanted when it's not true, when we are wanted, but children do sometimes come into families where they're not welcome. And they usually believe that that's because of them. And operating from that kind of a belief, people go down a very different path from the path they go down, knowing my parents really had some problems, and it had nothing to do with me.
Ah, well, that's a powerful thing to realize. Now, I'm wondering, is there a way to tell when we're operating from a limiting belief?
Definitely. There are two absolutely surefire clues. One is if you're feeling some way you don't like feeling. Now, I don't mean, you know, an awareness of danger that gives you that kind of quickening flight or fight response, or an awareness of wrongdoing where you realize I kind of want to correct my actions. I mean when you're feeling just ongoing anger or guilt or fear and you don't like it and you don't want to be feeling that way, it's almost a guarantee that you're operating from a belief that's not true. And the other clue is if you can't get in touch with a really active desire, like the desire to come on the show and share, you know, what we know that might be useful to someone else, if you can't get a hold of that, or if you believe that you want things that other people can have but you can't, those are two really good clues. Because you can't just question every belief. You'd never get out of bed in the morning. We'd all have bed sores just lying around wondering if this is true. Is that true? But
okay.
Those are real good starting places. If we could,
okay.
If we could get clear on the beliefs that keep us from wanting what we want and being happy, then we'd be in really good shape to live this miracle of life that we've been given.
Ah, okay. Well, that's big. Okay, so if we're not feeling good, or if we're not getting in touch with some of our positive desires that would make our lives happier, then that's the first clue. Aha, I'm probably operating from some beliefs that are untrue that aren't serving me.
Mm-hmm. I've been doing this workshop, the Breakout from Limiting Beliefs, and it's amazing that the beliefs that, you know, strong, bright, competent, highly functioning people believe things like, I can never be loved the way I want to be loved, or I could never succeed at a job I liked. Those are things that we live by, and you can find them by feeling awful. If you feel awful, then most likely you're believing something that's not true.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a big clue, and of course that might be a bit of a confront to some of the listeners. I know there was a time when I thought, well, geez, I mean, my granny had a saying, you take the bitter with the batter and you make the best of it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't feel a full range of emotions. You know, I'm not saying we shouldn't grieve or we shouldn't get that strong feeling of this will never do and stand up for ourselves. But when you have that ongoing, abiding kind of guilt or fear or anger that disrupts your relationships, then most likely you're believing something that's not true. For example, with anger, very often people who have an anger problem believe if they weren't angry, they wouldn't stand up for themselves. And the way you find that, the way you find that out, you just ask them, what are you afraid would happen if you weren't angry? And they answer things like, well, I suppose I could let people just walk all over me.
Mm.
And there's, you know, there's something between that question and that answer, and it's a belief. I wouldn't be able to stand up for myself if I weren't angry.
Now, pausing for just a moment, when you're out there listening, invite you to go to Mandy Evans, MandyEvans.com, and then once you're there, you can click on a link at the top of the page about the limiting beliefs, and you'll be able to see two categories, the top 20 most popular self-defeating beliefs, and if that isn't enough, then you can specifically zero in about money and look at 50 beliefs about money, because what Mandy says is that what you believe about money plays a leading role in your level of prosperity and happiness. And we can take a look or some of these things that we've got, because I'm going to put Mandy right on the line here. A lot of us have been led to believe over time that, well, with enough therapy, maybe $50,000, $100,000 in 5, 10, who knows how many years, we might get a breakthrough now and then. But I want to find out from you, Mandy, can you really change what you believe? And if so, what's involved in that process?
You certainly can. And even better than change it is to disprove it. You know, when you find out that something you have believed for years is simply not true, you stop operating from it. And maybe from habit, you know, you'll still have some stuff to deal with. And maybe you won't catch all of your beliefs. I think it takes probably forever to become totally enlightened. And, you know, of course, some people believe many, many lifetimes. But you can definitely find out that something you have believed is just not true. For example, when someone who's been very angry, believing that they could never stand up for themselves if they weren't angry, finds out that's not true, that they could be perfectly happy and still say, this won't do, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to correct the situation. I have a recent example. I worked with someone who had been working in another country selling real estate and had not been able to get paid the commissions. And he was so angry and so resentful. And we worked together for about 45 minutes. And you have to embrace some uncertainty to do this, because although it's very tempting to just switch from I can't have it to I can have it, you have to go through a little not knowing. So he had to go through, I don't know what would happen if I weren't angry. And we didn't just try to convince him, oh, it would be fine if I weren't angry. But then he began to see that not only could he stand up for himself if he weren't so angry and resentful and bitter about these commissions he hadn't been paid, but he could do it more clearly. He could do it without hatred. He could do it without wishing them ill will. And he just called them up and said, look, I understand your position, but I worked, I earned the commissions, and I want to get paid, and I'm going to have to turn it over to a lawyer if I don't. And he said he did it actually wishing them well, at which point they asked him, yeah, and then they asked him, would he come work for them some more? And he said, well, maybe, but not till I get paid.
Yes.
So that's an example. But he called me later to tell me what had happened, and he said, it was so amazing, he said, because I felt good, and I stood up for myself. And he realized he had maximized his chances of getting the money. I don't know if he'll get it or not. I'd love to tell you. And they sent it FedEx right away. But I don't know yet whether he'll get paid or not. But I know he's comfortable knowing he didn't have to do it in anger and resentment. He didn't have to wish harm to anyone. And he stood up for himself. You know, he was in his own corner, and he's proud of his own actions. So, yeah, when you disprove a belief, it is. It is. I mean, what more is there in terms of that and standing up for oneself, that you'll be in your own corner and that you can do it? Even lovingly, he said it was so funny. After he hung up, he could really feel that he wished them well. He still wanted to get paid.
Yes. Yes, able to separate the action from an intention.
Yes. And from any ill will, resentment, I mean, he was just chewing himself up alive about it's not fair. How could they do this to me? I mean, he couldn't sleep. He couldn't eat. His stomach was in knots. And he was afraid to confront them because he was so upset. He had no idea what he would say or what would happen.
Yeah.
And if they would retaliate.
Right. Right. And there's biblically, it talks about love your enemy, turn the other cheek, and people sometimes think, well, isn't that just going to mean that we'll get abused more?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the case, is it?
I don't think so. I think you can love them, turn the other cheek, and say, I would still very much like being paid for the work I did.
Yes.
Or in a relationship, for instance, if you see that you're in a relationship that's just no longer working, most people try to crush the love out of their own heart and try to convince themselves they were wrong and that they've wasted years, when all that's happening is, you know, I love you and I don't think it's best for us to be together. I think our lives would be better apart. That's an example of, you know, overcoming that belief that if I love you, I have to stay with you, even if our lives are going in very different directions, and that it's pretty clear that we both will maximize our chances for flourishing if we don't stay in this kind of relationship, whether it's a friendship or a romance or, you know, whatever kind of relationship, a business relationship.
Ah, yeah. That's interesting because I've thought to myself in relationships to be able to have a philosophy of expanding the level of interacting with someone to discover as deeper intimacy is built, is there more or less love? And if the love continues to grow, then it's like, okay, let's keep expanding this. If a point is reached and the love isn't growing or it's taking backward steps, then to me that's a time to adjust the level of interaction and return to a place where there was the level of love.
Yes.
And sometimes that sounds a little bit like what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes that will alter a relationship within itself, and sometimes it'll mean that the two people won't be spending the same time or activity, or, you know, it'll change, you know, in a big way. For instance, I worked with a lovely woman who was ending a marriage after about, I don't know, 10, 12 years, and the way they finally ended it was they spent the whole day and the whole night together. This is after they signed their divorce papers.
Ah.
And they spent the day acknowledging the gifts they had received from each other, the blessing it had been to know each other and be together, and how they wished each other well. And she said, and then they just spent the night holding each other and crying and saying, I love you. But they both knew that their time together as man and wife had come to an end. That one just kind of gives me chills.
Yes, I mean, wow. That's, Mandy, is the first time I've ever heard of that level of love being shared after people have gone through a divorce proceeding.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a hand in helping support them, perhaps?
Well, yes. When I first heard about, heard from the woman in the couple, and the wife, and she was devastated because her belief was that their divorce was a failure of love, and I hadn't heard that phrase quite that way before, and she had also believed that love was the strongest thing there was, and for her to see it failing was devastating. And I asked her, do you believe it's a failure of love? And she said yes, and she could hardly talk, and she was crying. And I said, do you still love your husband? And she said yes. And as we talked, she began to see that there was no failure of love whatsoever. There was no failure of anything, but that she wanted to live in one part of the country and engaging in a career that was flourishing, and he wanted to stay where he was and be engaged in very, very different things. They had grown in completely different directions, and that there just didn't seem any reason for them to be together that would work. So it wasn't a failure of love. It was just a change of their both growing. And I asked her, I think what really made it clear for her was I asked her, do you think the two of you will flourish more fully together or apart? And immediately she said, apart.
Ah.
Apart. And he felt the same way.
Yes. Wow. And do you know, are they still friends?
Yes, yes. And they still love each other and support each other. And I think it was their really awareness of, I want to flourish myself and I want you to. And it doesn't look to either one of us as if that can happen while we're together. There would be just so many compromises that it would... It would keep us both limited. It would limit us both.
Yes. But to be able...
Go ahead. No, you go.
Oh, fine. Okay. To me, it's exciting to be able to be empowered through your guidance to shift their parameters and say, okay, well, we can still love each other, and it's a marriage is not just about love. It's about an arrangement of people interacting in certain ways with certain goals. And and to be able to separate those two and to say, okay, our love can endure, to be a marriage couple together and building lives together when we've got different goals, that doesn't appear to be working. But the love can still survive, and they could still love each other till the day they died, while they might remarry, probably would, to other people.
Exactly. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all relationships that move apart could do it that way?
Yeah, and obviously, as Tim Galway said, he wrote The Inner Game of Golf, Inner Game of Tennis, and he said, if you've ever hit one golf shot beautifully or one tennis shot beautifully, then that is confirmation that within you is the ability to play a great game of golf or a great game of tennis. And so what you have done, because as human beings, we come from the same source, I believe, and we have amazing capabilities within us. The
yeah.
Christ that came spoke of his miracles and said, these I've done, and these and greater than I've done shall you do. So when you tell me that story, I say, well, I'm curious as to what would be involved in helping to open that pathway to more people, because for the love to continue and for people to support each other on different paths is as high a spiritual principle as I can think of. So I want to congratulate you, Mandy.
Oh, well, thank you. I think it's the couple that really deserves the congratulations, and I was lucky to be there with just three or four questions because, you know, when we're working with our own beliefs, it's so hard to see them ourselves, but each of us has the knowledge and the key to free ourselves from them, and that's why I wrote my books. That's why I do the breakout workshop, simply because, you know, you're going to go through life and not many people are going to ask you to question your beliefs. No one ever asked me to. I just kind of wandered through life bouncing off the walls and kind of careening around in pain till I was in my 30s. So, the keys are in the people. I just get to ask the questions.
Okay. Well, now, as you're mentioning asking questions, I'm sitting here, mouth is watering with happy anticipation going, you mean that many beliefs can be changed with a few key questions? I'm curious about these tools. Could you describe a little bit more about those, please?
Well, certainly. I think the first thing is what we're doing right now. And what you do with your show, and I want to acknowledge you for it, is helping people become more conscious of themselves, more conscious of what's available to them, opportunities they might not have known about, you know, the work of other people that they wouldn't have gotten to find out about if it weren't for you and your show. So the first tool is consciousness, and we get that. The way we get most things, by wanting it, by being, you know, aware that consciousness is good and putting ourselves in positions where we can be more conscious, hanging out with people that will support us in increasing and expanding our consciousness and awareness, you know, reading, going to seminars, meditating, all of those things. And then the second tool is acceptance. And can so many people have acceptance confused with resignation? And that's a big belief I would like to just eliminate right now, if I could. Because acceptance is that it's that ground of being where I see clearly, but I'm not demoralized by what I see. And then from there, I can move in any direction I want. You know, life hands us stuff. And we can duck and cover, or we can scream and yell, and we can kick back. But whatever just happened doesn't care. It already happened. And if we can accept it, then we can learn and look. And I'm not saying keep it forever or be resigned to it. Kind of like Alexander Fleming is the person who discovered penicillin, and the story is that he found some mold in his petri dish. And instead of going, oh, dang, dang, my petri dish is all full of mold, my experiment is ruined, and throwing it on the floor and giving up, he looked at it. He said, oh, there's mold in my petri dish. I wonder what it is. That's what I mean. That's what I mean by acceptance. So that in our lives, if we could just stop wrestling with the circumstances, like the song says, let it be, let it be, just long enough to look at it. And then the other tool that we all have that we're born with is desire. It's the mightiest motivation known. It's what gets little babies up off the ground and walking even though they fall down over and over and over. So rather than fighting our desire and believing that it'll cause pain and trying to crush it out of our own hearts, if we can embrace it as kind of a sense of direction that we can follow. And, of course, we'll learn as we go. And the other big myth about desire is when you get something, you're supposed to be satisfied with it forever. But that would be like going on a hike and saying, well, I took 3 steps and I see this rock. I should just stand here and look at this rock. Desire will keep you moving. What was it? Your producer said, life is the miracle. Humans are a miracle in motion.
Motion, yes.
Yes, exactly. Well, yeah, isn't that beautiful? Humans are miracles in motion, was what you told me just before we went on air. And desire is what moves us. It's not the cause of all suffering. The actual quote is misunderstood desire is the cause of all suffering. They kind of leave that word out a lot.
Oh.
And then the other tool is a dialogue process with those questions. And my book, Emotional Options, is just on how really to do that and how to question those. But they're pretty simple questions. And they're, if you go to my website, they're, I'll tell you what they are, but they're also on that top 20 self-defeating beliefs. Some of the questions are there, you know, right there on when you find a belief. You just ask.
Oh, and it says what can you do about them or what you can do about them?
Exactly, yeah. When you find a belief, you just ask yourself, why do I believe that? And very often the answer is, I just do. But it leads into. I don't know. I just do. It's so funny, but it kind of sets up the next question. You have to use it.
Okay.
And the next question. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that answer. I don't know.
Well, it's nice. It's nice to know that even if that is the answer, you can still move past it.
Yes, you can.
See, that's beautiful.
That's very important to know.
Yeah.
Because it leads to the next question, which is, what might you be concerned would happen if you didn't believe it? Or what might happen if you didn't believe it? And that's where the next belief comes up. Which is something like, if we're talking about, you know, anger, well, I wouldn't stand up for myself. Or if we take, let me see, I have my list in front of me. Here's the first one on this is, I should be able to make $1 million, but I can't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's really two beliefs. One is, I should be able to. Money's very big lately. Beliefs used to be much more about love and being a good person. the limiting ones, and now they're all about getting stuff, which is an interesting shift. But it, you know, a limiting belief is a limiting belief, whatever it's about. So now I hear a lot more beliefs about money and success than I used to. And so why should you believe, you know, why should you be able to make $1 million? And a lot of times you ask somebody, do you believe that? And they go, yeah. And you say, why do you believe it? And they say, I don't know. And then you say, well, what are you afraid would happen if you didn't believe it? And they say things like, they're so different, Ken. Everybody's are different. They say things like, well, I just give up. A lot of them don't make sense, but they're wired in us. So it is the answer. Or they say, well, because my father always said I never would amount to anything. That's why they believe they should make $1 million. And so, you know, you really can just bust them wide open. For instance, that example, if you say, well, do you think your father was right? They usually say no. And then they're free just to follow their desire. So that's a little bit about how the dialogues work. You know, it's complicated and it's hard to understand. So I don't want to spend too much time on it because I see people get really frustrated. But the basic questions are just, if you're looking at a feeling, you know, why are you angry? What are you angry about? Why is angry the way to feel? And those, when you get those answers, they're beliefs. And then you just go straight to, why do I believe that? And what might happen if I didn't believe that? And there's freedom in those questions. I've found it over and over and over again.
Well, that's the power, is that obviously, Mandy, people like Joe Vitale, who's incredibly successful, a great career, part of the reason that he's been able to achieve is for 20 years, he's turned to you at different times when stuff has come up for him, and instead of letting himself stay stuck in it, he went through this process, and to me, it bespeaks of the skill that you have, because obviously, or to me, it's obvious that Joe had been through the process enough times that he knew what was going on intellectually, but needed some outside support to help make some breakthroughs.
Well, we've been.
That's what I'm guessing, that might apply to many of us.
It certainly does. And one thing about Joe and probably everybody in The Secret and all the really successful life coaches, they keep getting help and support all through their lives. I'm just one of. I can't even imagine how many people Joe has worked with, because he just doesn't stay stuck. If he thinks there's a way to move and expand and freer and happier and more successful, he does it. And I think all of them do. And so many people believe it's a weakness to get some kind of help or to read a self-help book or to have a coach. And the life coaches that I work with, I'm not the only one they work with. They work with lots of different people. They avail themselves of all sorts of resources.
Sure. And to me, they may be going to someone for different financial advice or marketing advice, and yet for what you provide, to me, that's a foundational piece for reshaping their inner landscape to open up to the possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know a lot of times people get to feeling like they're stuck. They got a feeling, and it's like, okay, I might be able to do different kinds of changes, but boy, it could be hard to change how I feel, to change those emotions. And you wrote a book, you know, Emotional Options. So is it really an option about how you feel? Can that be changed pretty easily?
It can, but they will always go in sync with your beliefs. So you can change your emotion just by choosing, and we, you know, you can do it right away. If you're in the breakout workshop, for instance, I periodically just stop and I say, if you could feel any way you want to, how would you feel? How would you like to feel right this minute? And I, you know, they have their eyes closed and I watch their faces change, which is wonderful. They go from, you know, whatever they were feeling to a completely different feeling. And we can all do that at any moment, you know, if we catch ourselves. But it won't last if the feeling is going up against a deeply held belief. For instance, the guy with the getting paid, you know, from the commissions that he had earned, he could for a minute say, oh no, I'm just going to be calm, I'll meditate, and I'll think good thoughts, and I'll be peaceful. And he could. But as long as he believed he had to be angry in order to stand up for himself, the anger would come back every time the issue came up.
Absolutely.
So we can indeed just choose to feel something different, and very often we can accomplish it. But the real way to change an emotion that's a problem, again, not the free-flowing wonder, you know, of life in which we feel all the wonderful feelings, but when we're stuck in one or there's one that's damaging our life in some way, what we can do is find out the beliefs that keep that feeling in place and disprove them.
Yeah, and that's where your expertise is superb. Now, I want to open up the phone lines, at least for the last part of the show, in case there's some people who are excited about calling in or want to have something good happen for their lives, or they may just listen in and we'll chat some more. Let me give those phone numbers out. In the United States, it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, 888-815-9756. Or outside of U.S. and Canada, 530-876-3222. Our guest, Mandy Evans, the coach for some of the top coaches and trainers in personal growth and development in the world. And her website is Mandy, M-A-N-D-Y, Evans, E-V-A-N-S, MandyEvans.com. You can go on there and learn more about her, get in touch with her, find out when she's doing seminars, workshops. Mandy, you've got another book that I'm curious about, Traveling Free. And I wonder, why do you focus on the past in your book, Traveling Free?
Mostly because of my own work as an adult child of an alcoholic. I had been working with beliefs for years and years, and I had made great progress with my own beliefs as well as other people's. Sometimes it's easier to work with other people's, but I had made progress with my own. And when I moved to California maybe 15, 20 years ago, or it was definitely about 20 years ago, I was there all by myself, and I was feeling kind of lost. And I had been meaning to check out more about adult children of alcoholics, and it was when the recovery movement was at its height. You know, like beliefs, they come and go in the ones that people are thinking about, and Lord knows there are enough people who need recovery still, but that movement's not, you know, quite at the fore the way it was then. And I went to an adult children of alcoholics meeting, and I discovered this whole new area that I hadn't been looking at. And after about a year of that, I designed a workshop called Moving Beyond the Past. And I did that 3 or 4 times, and it was just too hard to do, Ken. People would come in and start sobbing just while they were signing up because they carried so much with them. And I very quickly realized everybody has a past. Alcoholics do, adult children of alcoholics do, anybody who ever got hurt on the playground at school, we all have pasts. and all of us have gone through hard times. And what is can be especially damaging is that we form beliefs during those really painful times that are not true, that we continue to live by our entire lives. And so I wrote that book based on the workshops and the brave work of the people who came to them, so that people could begin to look at their own beliefs that they had formed during hard times. And, you know, people say, I don't want to live in the past. Of course not. And I don't encourage anyone to live in the past. But if you're living by the past, it's really useful to find that out and find out what those beliefs are that are limiting you and sending you down a very different path from the path you would go down.
Okay, so by getting your book about traveling free, a person isn't necessarily confronting all those things of the past as much as they are learning about some of the beliefs that were formed during some of the adverse times in their past, and and with a focus on those beliefs, of shifting those limiting beliefs.
Yes, it has case stories and insights from the people who took the workshops, and it opens with the question, what was hard for you? And very few people have ever been asked that, and to just be quiet and answer. And then it goes into, well, what was hard about it, and what did it mean to you? And very quickly you become aware of the beliefs you formed. And then, they're the questions of how to question them and how to see if they're true, and then how to move on to what you want. It's not like how to remember every awful thing that ever happened to you and relive it.
Well, good. I mean, I wanted to bring that up because that way it's reassuring for our listeners that getting this book is actually going to be very facilitating to clearing the negative things from the past, not dredging them all up and leaving them stuck in it. So that's a big whew. There's a relief.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to recommend that to anybody. But if there's somebody who's been through a painful divorce or a painful childhood or an addiction or a loss or, you know, a quote-unquote failure in business or anything, any of the things that we face in life that are sometimes so hard and so painful that you have a suspicion that you're not free from it, that somehow it's affecting your life, I would recommend that book to find out if there are beliefs you formed during those times that are limiting you now and blocking your happiness and your success.
Okay. Well, good. I know I'm excited about exploring that because there's some areas that I know I have, and I think just being on planet Earth, here in the School of Life, given the circumstances that are out there, I would suspect that most of us have picked up a few things, maybe some pebbles in our shoes or extra rocks in our backpack that we don't need to be carrying anymore. Now, I'm curious, there's a bunch of information out about this law of attraction or the movie The Secret, the book around that. Now, how does your work relate to that stuff?
It's the aspect of beliefs, because the people who talk about the law of attraction in the wonderful books that are out there, several of them, and in the video and the book of The Secret, they talk about that your vibration has to match with, you know, what you want to bring into your life, and that you have to focus on what you want to bring into your life and how whatever you focus on grows. You know, because the law of attraction works whether you believe it or not or whether you understand it or not. If you're focusing on how mad you are at someone, that's going to grow, you know, whether you believe it or not. And the other aspect is desire, that sets up kind of almost like a rubber band effect that's so mysterious, but, you know, you can see it working, that when you really want something, it's as if you're drawing it to you like a rubber band. And beliefs are a really important component of all three of those aspects. And so it won't work if you're standing in your own way. For instance, if you believe you don't deserve prosperity, it'll cripple your wanting. You won't allow yourself to really freely ask the universe, you know, give me lots and I'll share. You know, you just won't be able to. And you won't be able to be in a compatible vibration with the wonders that are available to you. And you won't be able to focus. That's just one belief that would stop that. I don't know if it's fortunate or unfortunate, but, you know, you can have limitless limiting beliefs. Sometimes people say, well, how long does it take to get rid of them? And I guess eternity. But if from this moment forward we were always going to be happier and freer and clearer and less imprisoned by our own beliefs, when would we want that process to stop? I mean, the idea of it going on for eternity is kind of exciting.
Yes, continuing to grow and evolve and to be more of that, what I believe is our divine potential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when would you want it? Oh, that's enough. I don't want any more of that. No, you would want to do it forever.
Yeah, especially now, Mandy, thanks to you, that this process can be something that, as you talked about, a phone call or two with you and transformed what could have been an ugly divorce into something that worked out beautifully, transformed an angry, bitter gentleman who'd been betrayed and cheated, stolen from, and turned that around into a loving human being that was then empowered to really powerfully put forward his position in a way that opened the door for that to be handled much more easily. I mean, to me, talk about time well spent.
Such an adventure.
And now, something else as we get ready to wrap up. If a person has, and most of us would have more than a few limiting beliefs, do you have, from your experience, a way to kind of get to the key ones?
Again, I think the important clues are if you're feeling some way you don't like feeling, if you start exploring the feeling, you will come up with the key beliefs. Or if you can't let yourself dream your dreams and reach for anything you want, then
okay,
you will find the key beliefs if you explore that.
Ah, so it's just going initially by, if you're not feeling good, feeling badly in some way, then there's your answer, right there in that bad feeling. Or bingo,
and,
Mandy.
Right. There it is.
Boy.
And key beliefs are so different for different people. You know, you can't...
Yeah.
I came up... That's why I say they're the most popular. You know, they're not anything you would wish on your worst enemy, but they're the ones that people have, that people have adopted. You know, like they say, popular doesn't mean good.
Yeah. Boy, you got that right. Oh, well, this is wonderful. We're getting ready to wrap up here. And I want to thank you, Mandy, because this has been a marvelous adventure for me that's opened a door for me to have some ways to very quickly and powerfully tune into the beliefs to change and to have a method to do that. And, of course, to reach out to you at mandyevans.com, MandyEvans, for either private consulting or some of the group work, and to be sure to go get your books. The beautiful book about emotional options and traveling free. So thank you, Mandy.
Oh, thank you for the privilege of talking with you. You're a wonderful person to talk about these concepts with, and I've enjoyed it thoroughly.
Well, thank you. And to my beloved listeners, thank you for tuning in and taking a look also at advancedliving.com for some goodies for your life, and look on the bbsradio.com website to see other upcoming guests. We will have more adventure and fun for you. In the meantime, I just call forth for all of us a divine blessing, knowing that our Creator always pours forth on us energy to make our lives beautiful. And you've now gotten some new clues to explore with MandyEvans.com how to move yourself ahead. So blessings to us all. Thank you, and look forward to visiting with you and my beloved listeners next week. Mandy, goodbye for now.
Goodbye. Let's go.